The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 18th chapter. Then Pilate entered the headquarters again, summoned Jesus and asked him, "Are you the King of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Do you ask this on your own, or did others tell you about me?" Pilate replied, "I am not a Jew, am I? Your own nation and the chief priest have handed you over to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not from this world. If my kingdom were from this world, my followers would be fighting to keep me from being handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not from here." Pilate asked him, "So you are a king?" Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. For this I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice." Pilate asked him, "What is truth?" The Gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you.
King of the Hill. I'm not sure if that game is even played anymore today. I suspect that schools have probably banned it because it's too dangerous and someone might get hurt. But when I was in elementary school, it was one of our favorite pastimes, especially in the winter, when the snow was piled high at the edge of the playground. We would rush out when recess came and run to that snowbank and try to get to the very top. And the first one on the top would stand there and proudly proclaim, "I am the king of the hill." And then the fun would begin. We'd begin to push and shove and pull and tug, trying to get that king off the hill. When that king was gone, another one would rise to the top and say those same words, "I'm the king of the hill." The goal was to be the last king standing on that hill when the bell rang and we had to go back into school. All of our readings today, even the appointed psalm, have something to say about thrones and rulers and kingship. And that's not all that surprising, since today is known as the Sunday of Christ the King. It's the last Sunday of the church year. And it's appropriate as this year draws to a close to reflect on what it means for Christ to be king and to ask ourselves what it means for us to have Christ as the king of our lives. First of all, we need to recognize what kind of king Christ is. He's not the kind of king who wants to be king of the hill. Instead, he's not interested in pushing people down. Instead, he's interested in pulling people up. That's obvious when, in response to Pilate's question, he answers, "My kingdom is not from this world." If you read the book of Daniel, from which our first reading for today was taken, you soon discover that after Nebuchadnezzar's conquest of Judah in 587 BCE, Judah no longer had its own earthly king. It was now ruled by the Babylonians, and it was a program of terror, of state terror, of murder, and enslavement. In Daniel's vision, however, which we heard this morning, he sees a new kind of kingdom being established. And while the old kingdoms were characterized by violence and destruction and exploitation and oppression, this new eternal kingdom would be oriented toward justice. It would have its origin in the very throne of God himself. "My kingdom is not from this world," Jesus says. He stands there before Pilate. And Pilate asked him a question, "Are you the king of the Jews?" And what he's really asking is, are you going to be leading a national revolt against Roman rule? Am I and the administration that I represent going to be threatened by you and your followers? Jesus doesn't really answer Pilate. Instead, he says, do you ask this on your own, or did others tell you about me? And then when Pilate asks, what have you done? Jesus replies, my kingdom is not from this world. If my kingdom were from this world, my followers would be fighting to keep me from being handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not from here. No doubt Pilate felt a sense of relief when he heard those words from Jesus. He probably hoped that that meant that Jesus wasn't concerned about this life, but only with the life to come. After all, if Christ and his followers weren't interested in questions of justice, if they weren't concerned about how people were treated or mistreated, then the kings and the kingdoms of this world would have nothing to fear. If Christ had no concern for the world, then the status quo would not be threatened. But that isn't what Jesus was saying. He said, my kingdom is not from this world. What he was saying is that his kingdom was different from the kingdoms of the world. He was a different kind of king. He wasn't concerned about being king of the hill. But while his kingdom was not from this world, it certainly was in this world. And it would change the world. For he cared deeply about the world. And he cared deeply about the people of the world. While his kingdom was in the midst of the kingdoms of the world, his kingdom was a kingdom of justice and goodness and peace. He stands over against the kingdoms of the world in judgment and in redemption. When Jesus speaks of his kingdom, he's not speaking about a place. He's talking about who he is and about what he does. To the rule of intimidation and fear, to the politics of dishonesty and deceit and expedience, he stands there and shows that there is another way. His is the rule of grace and truth and compassion. In the deepest sense, his kingdom is not from this world, but he is definitely at work in the world. And further, when Jesus says, my kingdom is not from this world, these words don't mean that we who are his followers can take a hands-off approach. As followers of the king, our lives are to reflect the truth and the light of the king. We are patient, reflecting God's long-suffering. We are faithful, reflecting God's steadfastness. We are compassionate, reflecting God's love and care for the poor and for the oppressed. What does this mean in practical terms? Just a little over a week has passed since those terrible terrorist attacks took place in Paris. And it didn't take long before calls came to close the borders to Syrian refugees. Some of the governors of the U.S. states have stated that they would not admit any refugees into their state. And some of our own politicians are expressing similar kinds of attitudes. As followers of Christ the King, what should our response be? Do we respond with fear, or do we respond with compassion, as we did 10 or 12 years ago when our Sudanese friends came to worship with us and we welcomed them? If some of the concerns being expressed have raised questions in your mind about the wisdom of bringing Syrian refugees to our country, check the CLWR website. Check and see what they say about the kind of strict rules and regulations that are in place before refugees can be admitted to our country. Don't let misinformation and fear blur the call that we have to be part of God's kingdom. On Christ the King Sunday, it's easy to assign those positive attributes of patience and faithfulness and compassion to Christ the King, and thus to ignore our own responsibility and let fear get in the way of our calling to be followers of Christ the King. To participate in the kingdom, we too are responsible for our part in it. Our reading from Revelation reminds us that Jesus made us to be a kingdom of priests serving his God and Father. And since we have been made to be kings and queens of God's kingdom, it's our calling to work for that kingdom, to strive to be different, to welcome the stranger, and to care for those who are fleeing oppression. This is the truth that the kingdoms of this world cannot see. It's God's truth, but it is a truth that we can see and that we are called to preach, that we have to preach, not only on Christ the King Sunday, but every Sunday. Today we gather to celebrate Christ the King, a king who is different, a king who is not concerned about power and control, a king who is a servant king. Jesus is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and yet he comes to us in such ordinary ways, in love and compassion, in water poured over an infant's head, in bread and wine shared with others. Christ is a different kind of king. To those who take God's rule seriously, a new world of hope and opportunity opens up. To those who by their baptism have experienced forgiveness and acceptance, the only appropriate response is a hymn of praise. And so with the writer of Revelation, we too can join in saying, "To him who loves us and freed us from our sins by his blood, and made us a kingdom of priests serving his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen." Jesus is King. He is the King of our lives. Amen.